She's here to defend herself this morning. One of the weeks she wasn't. She just had a birthday. Did I tell you this?
Oh, wow.
She had a birthday on June 15, right? She's a little older than I am. Those of you that were in Armada, you remember me saying this. She's a little older than I am. 8 months older. So this is what I told her and what we are telling each other. So she just turned, I won't tell the age, 59 or whatever it is, but a few more years than that. Huh? No, she doesn't mind. Yeah, 37 turned around. Can you figure that out? You know, I love to have fun. 37 turned around, so 73. And I'm only 72. So she's the senior right now. So for 8 months, she's the boss. Then when we turn the same age, both 73 in February, then I'll be the boss for 4 months. And usually at the end of the 4 months, I try to get everything in I possibly can. We're actually married for 54 years. Many more to come.
Yes.
And we've had, Jesus has blessed us. The Lord has blessed us mightily. So, anyway, I get off of these things. Now, where was I at? You all know? See if you're awake. So this word submission is a result of being filled with the Spirit of God. If I am filled with the Spirit of God, I should not have any problems supporting someone who is following after the will of God in their lives. The devil is the one who controls. Holy Spirit does not. Holy Spirit will never force me to do anything. He'll never force you to do anything. He always gives us a choice.
Absolutely.
And I can choose to follow him and not to follow him. But the devil is just the opposite. We give in to sin, it'll put us in the bondage and it'll control that person. And the more he goes away from God, the more the enemy will control that person's life.
Yes.
And it will not be pretty.
Absolutely.
All right. So let's talk some about Holy Spirit on the inside of us. You may have heard these scriptures again and again, but we're going to remind ourselves today what the scriptures say concerning being filled with the Spirit. If I don't get done today, then we'll do it next week some more. Last week we had talked about the transition and things like that, so I didn't get to get into a lot of these scriptures. So what did Jesus say about Holy Spirit? Go to John chapter 4, verse 14. John chapter 4, verse 14. This is the story of the woman at the well, which many of us know, but maybe you don't, which is okay. And Jesus had asked this woman to give him water. And look what he said. Oh my. Did I say John?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm in Matthew. John chapter 4, in verse 14. Verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again." We all know that when we are thirsty in the physical, we take a drink, but maybe an hour or so later, depending how hot it is, we need another drink. We are constantly asking for more water in the physical. But look what Jesus said. He said, "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give," "but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life."
Yes.
Now think about that. He says you won't thirst again. Now I know we're hungry and thirsty for the things of God, but he's talking about something deep within our spirit that is not satisfied unless we have this spiritual water. Not unless we are born again is a craving within us satisfied that every person has. Every person on this earth has a void within them that only God can fill. I said every person.
Yes.
Now, some of the people don't have no idea. They don't have any idea that they have this void within. But every person does things to try to fill that void. They fill it with all kinds of other things. Maybe sin, maybe evil. Maybe they fill it with relationships or things that they think is going to satisfy them. That's why they party. That's why they do some of these things that they do. They're trying to fill the void that God has put on the inside of every person, and only God can fill that void. And that void is filled when we become born again. When we receive Jesus into our lives, that thirst that God has put in us only becomes filled by Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And what he did for us. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
And in that sense, we will not thirst again. It doesn't mean that we won't thirst for spiritual things and for knowledge and so forth. That's not what it means. It means that deep void is finally filled, and we will never thirst again concerning that deep void. Because Jesus fills it. Holy Spirit, he sends his Holy Spirit and fills it. And he said it's like when you get born again, it's like a well springing up. Or a stream. Or a spring, I like to say. It's like a spring springing up from the inside of us. It's Holy Spirit. When we become born again, we have Holy Spirit come and live on the inside of us. I said, when we become born again, from that moment on, Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us.
Yes,
what we do with it depends if it will show in our lives or not. But I became born again when I was 12 years old, and something happened to me. I didn't even know what happened. I didn't have teaching and knowledge of these things. So I didn't know what happened. But I do know this. All my friends, I was Amish. So you ever hear of the word Rumspringa? Rumspringa is like the Amish kids. They have their parties and all these kind of things. I'm glad to announce, though, that today many of the Amish kids don't do that anymore. Their parents are involved. And so on. Wonderful things happening among the Amish.
Hallelujah.
Wonderful things.
Revival.
Wonderful things. Yes, revival. Happening among the Amish. So when I got born again, my older brothers and sisters, I'm number 4 in the family, and they don't mind me saying this, but they were rumspringing. And they were with these wild parties and wild bunch of people, young people. And then all my friends went that direction. But I never could. And for years, I didn't know why I couldn't. I didn't know. I just never could do those things. Why? Because there was something inside. Holy Spirit was there that I received when I was born again at the age of 12. And that's, I think I had said this before here, that's why we have a great testimony. If you were never involved in some of these things, sometimes we hear a testimony of somebody that was saved out of drugs and all these kind of things. That's wonderful. Great testimony. But we have an even greater testimony of God's keeping power all those years. And we don't have to reap some of the consequences that some other people do. And I'm not saying that in pride. I'm saying that as honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I could not do some of those things. And so when I was 14, at the end of the 14th year of my life, I started going to a young people's group, and they were Amish, but they were born again. And I finally found out what happened to me, that I was born again. Then I would hear preachers say things like this, that if you don't know the day you were born again, then you're not born again. But I knew I was born again. I didn't come up all again and again and again to try to get born again. I knew I was born again. But they would continue to say that. Finally, I said, Lord. Now again, you know, when you speak like this, we're saying we have a conversation with the Lord. We're sensing things. Now, every now and then, there's an individual that may hear a voice and talk back and forth, like Brother Hagin did. But that doesn't happen to very many of us, does it?
No.
Well, does that mean God doesn't speak?
No.
Of course he speaks. He speaks to you. If you have the Holy Spirit inside, then he speaks to you. Maybe not in an audible voice, but he speaks to you by a sensing on the inside of you, by the peace that's on, we talked about that last week, by the peace that's on the inside of you as you follow him. If there's no peace there, then you know it's not Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit will always lead you to peace, always. And if you have this knot on the inside or this then that's not Holy Spirit. Then turn around and go back to where you had peace. Amen. So finally, I asked the Lord, I said, well, when did this happen to me? Then he took me back to the night that my grandmother died. My grandmother was an Amish lady. I was real close to her. She lived in, my grandparents lived in the same house, had their grandparents' quarters. And I would spend time with her. And she was always, as I remember her, she was always a sickly woman. She would always sit in her rocking chair. After she died, we found her Bible. We found out that she was praying for us. She prayed for President Kennedy. That's how long ago it was. And she would found out that she was praying for us. And you know, her prayers are still working today on the earth because we're a product of her prayers. So never give up when you pray. Never. I know there's a lot of different things here, but that's great. We'll just follow what the Holy Spirit wants. So the Lord took me back to that night that she died. She was at home, and she wanted us grandchildren that were alive at that time and that could understand to come over to her side of the house. And when we got over, when I got over there, she couldn't hardly talk, but she got enough of strength to talk. And I remember one phrase she said, one phrase. She said, they called me Junior back then because I have my dad's name. Now don't go calling me a junior. If you want to, you may, but... So she said, Junior, lebe für Jesus. Lebe für Jesus. That's German, live for Jesus. I was went over to my side of the house, and I was crying because I always figured I was crying because she was dying. I went over at 9 o'clock, and at 1 that morning, the next morning, she passed away. So the Lord took me back there. And he said, when you were coming over, you were crying not just because she was dying, but in your heart you were saying, I'm going to do what she said. And that's all it took. And from that moment, Holy Spirit lived on the inside of me. A well, a spring, whatever you want to call it, springing up, refreshing unto salvation. Filling that void that every person has. And that's what we can tell people. Say, listen, God can fill that void for you. All you have to do is accept Jesus into your life. And everywhere we go, we can do that. We can tell people about Jesus. It's not that difficult. As the Spirit of God leads us, we are to minister to people around us. We're supposed to be interested in people. We don't look at the outside. We look at the heart and minister to the heart. So then if we go to John chapter 7 in verse 37, you're almost there. Just a couple pages. But of course, many of you have your phones, which is fine. In verse 37 of John 7, it says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. So again, he's appealing to the void that's on the inside of people. You know, there's actually two voids. The first void is God can fill. The second void only relationships can fill. And everybody has a void concerning relationship. God put it there. Everybody wants to have relationship with other people. Then he says, he who believes in me in the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. First, he said it's a well or a spring, and now it's a river. This he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Before Jesus died on the cross, no one was born again. Not until he arose again were people able to get born again. Because he had to pay the price for sin. And when we got born again, we become the vessel where the Holy Spirit lives on the earth. And the Holy Spirit couldn't come and live in us if the sin nature is still there. Because God and Holy Spirit, God and sin cannot exist together. So when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for my sin, he paid for the sin of the world. Amen. Come on, he paid for the sin of the world, it says in Corinthians. So he paid for our sin, and then that sin nature was taken away when we received Jesus and we received the gift into our lives. And that's why Holy Spirit can now live on the inside of us, because the spirit man is born again and is no longer a sinner. I was a sinner, but my new man on the inside is not a sinner. I still sin sometimes because I displease God and don't always do his will. But then we have 1 John where it says, if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. And I like this part, not only does he forgive me of that sin, but he also cleanses me of all unrighteousness.
Yes.
Wow. So he comes to live on the inside of us, the river of living water, the well or the spring. And then here he says it would be rivers. Now to me, a river is different than a well or a spring. A spring has a little trickle at the beginning. But a river, we've had so much rain recently in different places. I don't know about you, but last night we had a bunch of rain again. In right in our local area. I don't know if it rained out here or not. It was just very localized. But you know, when that happens, the river, we came across Susquehanna River to get here, and that river is higher than it normally is. And you probably don't want to go swimming in the middle of that river, do you? Why? Because there's power there. It's powerful. So when rivers flow from on the inside of us, there is power that's flowing out. And I believe he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where we receive the power of the Holy Spirit like they did in the book of Acts.
Yes.
And it's that power that we minister from. Even Jesus had to be baptized and the Holy Spirit come upon him before his ministry began.
Yes.
That we read about. So there's a power there, a power that we use as we minister. As he sends us out, we have the power. You know, miracles, signs, and wonders follow me. They follow me. That's what it says. These signs shall follow them who believe. You believe? They follow you. Everywhere you go, they're following you. They're following you. They're with you.
Amen.
So when you pray for somebody, it's already there. We don't have to ask God, well, come now, God, and do this. No, it's already, they're following you. So I lay hands on somebody. They follow me. I expect a miracle. I expect something to happen.
Yes.
All right, now turn with me to John 14. John 14. Did you know that John chapter 14, 15, and 16 talk about Holy Spirit? They talk about what Holy Spirit will do for you. They talk about Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. And they talk about the peace that he brings. Holy Spirit is peace. In these three chapters, 14, 15, and 16, study them, meditate in them, and find out what Holy Spirit is and who he is and what he will do for us. I've spent so much time in those chapters, I can't quote them. I have to still look and read. But there's so much in there about Holy Spirit. So Jesus said in verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. He says, I'm going to leave you. Now, can you imagine for 3 years you're following this man and you're just all about him. You're just following him. You believe in him. You believe he's the Messiah. And all of a sudden he's starting to say, I'm going to leave you. I mean, look at Peter's reaction. He says, what do you mean? You're going to leave us. You're here to set up the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Israel. What do you mean you're going to leave us? And Jesus actually had to tell him, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Because Peter didn't understand the spiritual things. He couldn't. You can't understand spiritual things except by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
According to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We won't have time to get into that this morning. Maybe next week. We'll see. So all of a sudden Jesus is telling his disciples, he says, I'm going to leave you. But he says, I won't leave you comfortless. He says, I'm going to send you another helper. And this helper is just the same as I am. He said, this helper is already with you.
Absolutely.
He's already with you, telling his disciples this. What do you mean he's already with us? Well, he is in me. It was the same Spirit.
Yes.
He said, you've already seen him. You see how he functions. You see how he operates. You see how what he does. Because he lives in me. This helper is already with you. But the day comes when he will be in you. Now there's a big difference between somebody being with me and being in me. Big difference. It says then that he will abide with you forever. So that person in me is always with me. That's what he's saying. He's always with me. Always. Always. When I have mully grubs, he's with me. When I feel like nothing is going right, he's with me. When I feel like I'm experiencing the worst thing in my life, as a believer, he's with me. When I disobey God in sin, he's with me. How do you know? Because I feel horrible. Because he convicts us. As long as you have those feelings of conviction in you, you know the Holy Ghost is with you. Some people think he jumps out of you as soon as you make a mistake. But he doesn't. He's with you.
Absolutely.
He abides with us forever, Jesus said. I mean, did Jesus mean what he said? He abides with me forever. He doesn't jump in and out. He doesn't jump in and out according to how I'm acting. Now, he's displeased at times. And if I grieve him, he won't talk to me for a while unless I repent. Sometimes he gets a little quiet when you've displeased him. I don't think it's Selah, though. Yeah, think about it. But he's always there. If I displease him and I've grieved him, I can turn around and say, I'm so sorry. And all of a sudden you start speaking again.
Amen.
He never leaves us. Never. So my challenge to us is, let's become more and more aware of the power, the Holy Spirit, the power of God on the inside of us. If I know I have that power and I have opportunity to minister to somebody, I won't be afraid because I know he's right there. He's right there. No matter what I'm going through, he's right there. And all I need to do is draw on him. Follow peace. So again, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. We're on the other side of that. He is now in us. He doesn't just dwell with us, he is in us. He's in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. He's not going to leave you alone. An orphan. He says, why did he say orphan? Because an orphan is lonely. An orphan doesn't have parents. An orphan may be a forgotten kid. But not when Holy Ghost is with us. We're never forgotten by God. Never. God knows exactly what you're thinking right now. And he's with you to help you by Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. I smell food. So we don't want to go overtime when there's food. No, seriously. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Let's get these so much on the inside of us that we will walk in the authority that he has given to us, that we will be about his business, which is reaching people, knowing that he is always there, always, in whatever we need. He may lead us sometimes that stretches us a little bit, but that's all right. Just trust him. Trust him.
Yes.
I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I do know that the Spirit of God is with me and in me. When I wake up on a Monday morning, I don't feel like getting up. He is still there. He is still there. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand. So, I don't know all of you. So, is there anybody here today that you still have that void within you? You have never accepted Jesus as your Savior. And you say today, and I say today is the day, and you want to. Maybe everybody's born again. I don't know. But I'm giving that invitation because today could be your day. If that's you, just come on up here and we'll pray for you. Then the second thing, is anyone here today that you've never received the power or the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life? And you want to receive that into your life today, just like they did in the book of Acts. If that's you, you can come up here as well. You will find that I will not beg. I will put out the invitation, and then it's up to you to respond. And then the third thing, this was on my heart even as I was praying this morning. Maybe there are some of us here today that we received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but we've kind of let go of it. Maybe we don't pray in tongues anymore. Maybe we don't speak in tongues. Or maybe you never have. And we don't focus so much on tongues, but we know that tongues is a mighty benefit from God as we pray. And as we come together as a group, there's nothing wrong with praying together when we pray in the Spirit. It's also called praying in the Spirit or praying in tongues. I mean, when we pray, we should hear prayers going up when we're praying for someone or praying as a group. And even singing in the Spirit. You know, the Word of God says in Corinthians that we sing in the Spirit and we sing with our understanding. You know, why don't we sing in the Spirit? Maliya saka kamala da kanda. You know, as we worship many times, we just go right into praying and singing in the Spirit. And it's such a wonderful experience. One time we were in Sierra Leone, and we were in this meeting. And we were worshiping. And people were just worshiping in the Spirit. It was a beautiful thing. And after a while, I heard something that was out of this world. Just for I don't know how long it was. But it was like something I've never heard before. And I'm sure it was the angels singing with us and worshiping with us at that time. So many times as we lift our hearts, singing in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, there's something supernatural happens. So I'm just going to open up the altar. And if you want a greater release in praying in tongues, or you just want to come up here. Actually, I saw those of us that pray in tongues just gather up front here and just begin to lift up our voices. But I don't want to embarrass anybody. Maria Sakakahi Kebalodokomo Shantara de Kamo Shanta Maria La de Kabo Shantara de Kamanda Maria La de Kabo Shanta Papa Papa Shanta. Anybody not receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit you want to right now? Come. Idikapo La de Kamo Shantara de Kamonde Moria La de Kate Shente Flamaria de Kamo Shanta Moria La de Kabo Shantara de Kamo Shanta I Kamala de Kamo Shanta. Oh, we glorify your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God is good. I encourage you. Bible says in Jude that you can build up your own spirit by praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. I encourage you to do that on a regular basis. The Bible says in Romans that we don't know how to pray. How's it say there in Romans chapter 8? Bears witness with our spirit, yes. But then it's that we are hindered at times because we don't know how to pray. Right?
Yes.
And he makes intercession for us with groanings.
Too deep for words.
Which groanings can also mean that, yeah, too deep for words, but it also can mean in a language that you don't know. In other words, you can pray in the Spirit and the Spirit prays,
yes,
through you. Maybe for yourself, maybe for someone else. I don't always know how to pray for people. I can't see their heart, but the Spirit of God can, and we can use us to pray as we pray in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you again for the opportunity to minister, and we look forward to what God has in store for us. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you. Thank you for Holy Ghost. Thank you for Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.